And welcome back, everybody. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We usually check in with our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick, on Thursdays, but we're going to do it today here on Wednesday because tomorrow our program will be preempted by the testimony of former FBI Director James Comey, who is appearing before the Senate Intelligence Committee. NPR will cover that hearing live from 10 until about 1 o'clock when they are scheduled to go into closed session tomorrow. So we thought we would invite Judy over here today to talk about a very cool new show at Center Stage. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So they have a show there called Jazz. It's a world premiere, and it's an adaptation of a novel by the Nobel Prize-winning author Toni Morrison. I mean, she's a very, you know, world-famous author. Is it rare to adopt one of Miss Morrison's work?
It is pretty rare. There have not been many adaptations, and none recently. The best known, of course, is the 1998 movie of Beloved with Oprah Winfrey and Danny Glover. Morrison has published 11 novels over 45 years, and Jazz is only the second one of these novels that has been adapted for the stage. The other one is an adaptation of her first novel, The Bluest Eye, which was done by playwright Lydia Diamond back in 2005. Towson University did a student production of it in the fall that I saw. And I can tell you that Jazz is a much bolder, much more theatrical adaptation. It's also an adaptation that has Toni Morrison's blessing. She chose playwright Nambi E. Kelly to do this adaptation, and Baltimore Center Stage jumped at the chance to produce the premiere, especially artistic director Kwame Kwayarma, who directed this production. Baltimore Center Stage has wanted to do an adaptation of Jazz for years, and in fact had worked with another playwright under the auspices of the theater's previous artistic director, Irene Lewis. So this play and this production is a very big deal.
Yeah, very big deal indeed. So the Toni Morrison's novels tend to be pretty complex. I read Jazz a long time ago, and I, to tell you the truth, can't remember exactly the intricacies of the plot. But would you describe it as complex? I mean, just the plot alone.
Well, the novel is quite complex, but the plot is actually fairly straightforward. Morrison gives it away on the first page of the novel, so there's no spoiler alert necessary here. It's also spelled out very early in the play. The plot is a love triangle. There's a middle-aged married man named Joe who falls in love with a teenage girl named Dorcas. When Dorcas tries to leave Joe, he shoots her. And then his wife, Violet, shows up at Dorcas's funeral and cuts the face of the corpse with a knife. So trying to figure out why this happened is the crux of the book and the crux of the play. What makes the adaptation complex isn't the plot, it's the way it's told. It takes place in two different eras and different places, mostly 1920s Harlem, but with flashbacks as far back as the late 19th century South. There are a lot of projections used at Baltimore Center Stage to suggest locations, starting with the photo that inspired the novel, a 1926 photo taken by James Vanderzee of a murdered teenage girl in a coffin, and that's projected at the scene of Dorcas's funeral. And then there are projections of forests for the scenes that take place in the rural South. But more significantly, the novel and the play tell three different versions of the plot. This is probably what you're remembering as complications. Each is told from the point of view of a different member of this love triangle. Here's Leon Addison Brown, who plays Joe, trying to explain to a neighbor that he's a respectable man, even though he's planning to have an affair.
I've been living in this building longer than you have. You ever seen me mess with anybody? You ever hear a woman say anything against me? I sell beauty products all over town. You ever hear telling me Chase is a woman? No. What's never happened?
Leon Addison Brown in Baltimore Center Stage's production of Jazz. So, Judy, you said that Jazz presents three versions of the same story. That obviously is easy to do when you're reading it as a novel, but, I mean, isn't it just a matter of reenacting it three different ways? I mean, how do they do this on stage?
It's actually much more imaginative than that. A couple of examples. In the flashbacks to Joe and Violet's younger days in the South, separate actors play young Joe and young Violet. There are scenes when young Violet and grown Violet are on stage together. The first time this happens, they actually say a few words in unison. At another point, young Joe and grown Joe sing together. So the past is very much alive to these adult characters. The novel also has a narrator or narrators. It's not really clear. Their identity is never revealed. There's even a pet parrot that Joe gives to Violet, which serves as a narrator at various points. The play eliminates the narrator, which I think is a wise choice. It does keep the parrot. The parrot is portrayed by an actor named Avery Whitted. He's colorfully dressed, but he doesn't wear a parrot costume. And at various times, the parrot and the other characters watch the action through window frames that descend at the back of the stage. Sometimes these onlookers seem to be just busybodies or gossips. Sometimes they suggest that the whole community is trying to figure out why all this happened, why Joe shot Dorcas, why Violet slashed the face of the corpse. In short, we don't see identical aspects of the story each time. You see what is most crucial or most pressing to each character, past and present. It's kind of like looking at the same story through different lenses. We learn, for example, that the three main characters each experienced major tragedies when they were children. In Dorcas's case, her parents were killed in race riots in St. Louis, and after that she was shipped off to Harlem to be raised by a very strict aunt. I brought a clip of Dorcas, who's played by Jasmine Batchelor, and her overprotective aunt, who's played by Michelle Shea. The aunt is particularly worried about the impact of evil jazz music.
The music is worse and worse.
Oh, music.
It starts in your head, fills the heart, then drops on down to places
below the sash.
And buckle belts lower and lower and lower. And lower.
So low down, you have to shut the windows and just suffer the summer heat.
Woo! It's hot!
Michelle Shea and Jasmine Batchelor in jazz at Baltimore Center Stage. So, Judy, how well does the cast meet the challenges of this very multifaceted script? And by the way, the play is called Jazz, but I understand there isn't a whole lot of music in the show. So as Seinfeld would say, what's the deal?
Well, the cast does a very good job. Shanasia Davis is wonderful as adult Violet. She looks haunted and troubled and always kind of stunned. Jasmine Carmichael is charming and girlish as young Violet. I did feel that Leon Addison Brown didn't register quite enough passion as adult Joe. But in terms of the music, except for the title, Toni Morrison doesn't use the word jazz in the novel, and I don't think it shows up in the script either. There is some music in the show, but it's more a matter of trying to adopt a jazz structure to the show. I mean, that's clearly what the playwright and what director Kwame Kwe Armah are going for. It's kind of fracturing or riffing on the plot and on the themes. I said this production is a big deal. It also takes really big risks, and more often than not, those risks pay off.
Good for them. Well, I'm going tonight, and I can't wait, so that's going to be terrific. Jazz is at Baltimore Center Stage until Sunday night, June 25th, and we've got a link to details at wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, what are we going to talk about?
Next week, we're going to Maryland Ensemble Theater in Frederick. I'll bring you a review of Fred's Diner, and I also have to say, Tom, watch the Tony Awards Sunday night.
Sunday night on ABC, I think.
CBS.
Well, they're all the same. You know, all those networks look the same. All right, thanks, Judy. We'll see you next time. We want to thank the Baltimore Chef Shop for providing lunch today. They're on the Avenue in Hamden. They offer a variety of private events and cooking classes for kids and adults, including baking and international cuisines. Tomorrow evening at 6:30, they're offering a class on the Mediterranean menu. We'll have more on the web at BaltimoreChefShop.com. Tomorrow, WYPR will bring you NPR's live coverage of former FBI Director James Comey's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee. That begins at 10 o'clock, goes until 1 o'clock, so we won't be with you tomorrow on midday. But on Friday, on the Midday News Wrap, we'll have analysis of the Comey hearing as well as insight into the British national elections with Frances Sellers of The Washington Post. She'll join us from Oxford, England, and Jane Miller of WBAL Television. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up right after the NPR News at the top of the hour. Thanks for being with us for the entire Midday team. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.